difficult period after the flood, but now I'm ready for new challenges.
I see.
That's all I can say. And I'm sure you'll be equally honest when you explain my departure to the board, or any prospective employer who asks for a reference.
Oh, don't worry. You'll get a good reference.
Good. And you'll tell the board...
Oh, exactly what you've told me.
If they think it's rather sudden, you can say I was owed time in lieu, which I am.
Right. Well, if that's all settled...
Yeah, I don't want to stop you with, what is it? Oh, herd health reports. They can be tricky.
Mm.
Even if we can't work together, let's part the right way. We can manage a handshake, can't we?
All right. Goodbye, Rob.
No hard feelings, hmm? Goodbye, Charlie.
Hello, I'm Mariella Frostrup. As many of you flock to the coast for your last glimmer of summer sun, Open Book is joining the exodus and heading to Lyme Regis. Coming with me, writers Julia Rochester and Patrick Barkham. Blake Morrison delivers a perfect briny ode from his beach-inspired poetry collection, and David Vann adds chills with his story of a shark encounter. Tune in for a seaside special to explore why the boundary between land and sea is such a fertile one for writers' imaginations. On Sunday at 4, and then available on the BBC Radio 4 website.
This afternoon at 3, Helen Mark visits Cornwall's Clay County to see how mining has sculpted the landscape that's in open country. But now on Radio 4, the next in our drama series, Red and Blue, starring Tim Woodward as the wargame exercise writer, Bradley Shoreham. Shoreham's been hired to put the emergency services through their paces, and it's not long before his divide and rule tactics are ruffling feathers.
My name is Bradley Shoreham, and 2 years ago, I gave up my job as a civilian wargamer to work for the richest woman in the world.
Come and work for me, Bradley. I want to save the world. I want to save the lives of starving children. I want to make the planet a better place.
Her plan was for me to write a report that defined and predicted the nightmare scenarios threatening our planet and propose ways of dealing with them.
I want to do good. I want to be good in the remaining years of my life. And I want you to show me how to do it.
It was a bold and brilliant idea, but I'm afraid it didn't end well. She persuaded her estranged grandson to join us. He was an idealist, a radical activist.
You're a modern robber baron. You're everything that is rotten and stinking in today's society, but you're rich, and that's why I came to work for you. That's why Bradley's here.
Mark and I were betrayed by Alessandra. I bounced back, as I always do, but Mark took it badly. He died in a car crash 9 months ago. Accidental death was the verdict of the coroner. But that was, well...
Mark was weak. Like his father, genetically unstable. He cracked under the pressure because of you. That's why he crashed his car. Not an accident. It was deliberate. The witnesses all agree on that. Because of you. You killed him.
No. Your grandson killed himself because of you. Because despite everything, he loved you, and he trusted you, and he couldn't face the truth about what you are.
Red and Blue, Hazard by Philip Palmer, with Tim Woodward as Bradley Shoreham.
Foxtrot Romeo from Foxtrot 1, we are attending the RTA at Junction 3. There are multiple casualties. Two lorries, including a gas tanker carrying hazardous chemicals, and six cars. Over.
Foxtrot 1, we have two more ambulances on their way. Can you estimate how many casualties? Over.
Get that over here! Sharpish!
Come on, lads!
Come on!
Come with me. I'll walk you to the side of the road.
Oh, thank you. I'll be fine.
Is anyone hurt? Lifting. One, two, three.
I'm fine, I'm fine.
Don't turn your head.
Can you confirm you have all the drivers outside the warm zone? Over.
Affirmative. Over.
The driver's trapped behind the wheel. We need to pull him free. John, Mike, to me. Got that?
Control from Bravo Echo. We have a HAZCHEM alert, Junction 3. Over.
Bravo Echo Farm Control. Can you give us the HAZCHEM markings? Over.
Registration number Echo Delta 17 November Delta Charlie. It's a Ford box van. The logo says Taunton Transport. The vehicle is partially burned out, but the driver got clear. Over.
Thank you, Tango Alpha.
Get back behind the line. Behind the line, I don't care who you are, if you haven't got breathing apparatus, get back behind the line. Thank you.
How are you feeling, lads?
I feel sick. Dizzy.
Oscar material, this.
Thank you. Out. I've got a rash on my skin, which suggests I've been splashed by toxic chemicals, and yet you're touching me.
Easy, it's just an exercise.
Take it seriously, okay? That's how these things work. It's pointless doing these big multi-agency exercises.
Steady on, darling. I need to get all bossy with
me. I'm not your darling. And by the way, I'm a DCI with traffic police. Don't feel very well.
Foxtrot Romeo, we have a HAZCHEM spillage. Can we have some information about the chemicals involved and how to treat them? And are they, am I contaminated or something?
No idea, mate. That's for you to find out. I'm just the victim.
It's a sight. Yes. All those flashing lights and a full moon in the sky.
It's pushing it to do an exercise like this at night.
I'd rather do it at night in the pouring rain. Sadly, nature didn't oblige.
Accidents are more likely in the daytime. That's the more likely scenario.
Yes, but it's so beautiful. Look at the view on those screens. It's like the Aurora Borealis. The Sonne Lumiere of emergency vehicles.
Have it your way.
We should know in a few minutes what the chemicals are. Ambulance control is speaking to the National Chemical Emergency Centre and the haulage company.
The emergency action code on the back of the gas container lorry says 2V, which means extinguished with fog and capable of violent explosions.
Triage systems are being set up by the AIC. Bronze Medic is at the scene and has liaised with Police Bronze and Fire Bronze. Is it likely that the tanker will rupture?
Not likely.
We're getting reports from the victims of nausea and dizziness.
That is indeed the information in their exercise briefs.
So could that be gas leaking from the crashed tanker?
Are you asking me?
Well, no, sorry. Of course not. It could be a leak. Could be just stress from the accident. Mm-hmm. The cars were braking violently. There were numerous minor shunts. Plus, being in the vicinity of a major accident can be stressful in itself. Mm-hmm. We're treating all the victims for shock.
Is there a wind, Mrs. Wilton?
Is there? What does it say in the exercise brief?
It says, pick up your radio and call someone at the scene and see if there's a wind.
There's a wind. A southerly, a bit nippy. Upwind rendezvous points and upwind access points are in place. And we have a plastic windsock, so we have visual confirmation of any changes in the wind direction that may affect the plume. If there is a plume. No reports
Could
yet.
Could be an invisible plume, toxic gases. Any progress on
It's coming through now on my screen. Sodium hydroxide. Corrosive. Highly exothermic. That thing blows, it'd be a hell of a fireball. I propose extending the warm zone and the outer cordon.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Fire silver from fire gold. Are you reading the report on the load, over? Affirmative.
One confirmed fatality. The driver of the HAZCHEM tanker lorry, Michael Rutherley, 34, died in the ambulance.
Do we have anything about the driver of the other vehicle?
With respect, do you mind not butting in?
Well, I'm the exercise writer.
Like the speak no evil monkey. Put your hand over your big mouth, please. It doesn't help to keep getting sly comments from someone who knows how the movie ends.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hand on mouth.
I want full toxicology on the corpse of the driver. Was he drinking, taking drugs, prescription medication? My bronze command is treating the site as a crime scene until I tell him differently.
Accidents happen, Harry.
My idea of a successful training exercise, if I can bang some bugger up for negligence. Can't be the driver, he's brown bread, so let's find somebody else, eh?
Very commendable.
I won't tell you again.
I'm not sure this is a police matter, Harry. I mean, it's more about response times and disaster management procedures for the medical and fire teams.
Yeah, that's how I'm reading it.
It was an RTA on a quiet nighttime road, called in by mobile phone. Our people were at the scene promptly. Casualties are en route to hospital. Procedures for dealing with a chemical fire are in place.
That would be ugly. Sodium hydroxide, it's nasty stuff. But I'm confident my officers have the situation contained.
No worries on my side. Traffic police have created two-way traffic in the southbound lane. Disruption has been minimised. My bronze command, who's a bit of a stickler for these things, has flagged up a number of issues regarding our treatment of Hazchem lorries, but it's minor stuff, trivial really. I don't note any failings that should concern us. No one's dropped a bollock so far.
Well, touch wood. Let's wait and see.
To be honest, I'm not sure there's any real danger here. My officers don't report any signs of a spill. There was no head-on collision. In fact, what actually happened is the gas tanker lorry veered off the road onto the hard shoulder, then onto the grass verge. I doubt it made contact with the other vehicle. Not that big a deal, really.
So why did the driver of the tanker lorry die?
Oh, sorry. Did I not say? Heart attack.
Oh. Well, there we are. Bit of a damp squib, this exercise. Fire silver from fire gold. Do we have a further risk assessment of the gas tanker lorry? Over. Uh-huh. Are you sure of that? Over. Right. Thank you, Tom. We've had the all clear. There's no fire to put out. No breach in the skin of the tanker. Apart from losing a bit of rubber from the tyres, the Hazchem lorry's right as rain.
Who wrote this bloody exercise, eh?
My lips are sealed on your instructions, Chief Superintendent.
No worries. Always good to have a tune-up. We could have made this particular exercise a tabletop job, though. Hardly worth my officers turning up en masse in all their gear for a minor shunt and a drive with a dicky heart.
Let's see the positive side. It's been a good road test of the joint command system.
I reckon so. Right, who's for a pint?
Are we allowed to do that in working hours?
Oh, apologies. I meant to formally propose a liquid debrief to discuss interoperability issues between our respective emergency services.
Now you're talking my language. Katie?
No, I'll man the fort. You get on.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Shoreham. I'm sure this was all very helpful, despite the lack of drama in your scenario.
Dizziness? No. Nausea?
What?
Do we have any more reports on the dizziness and nausea?
Actually, there were quite a few people vomiting at the scene. You'd expect a few pukes, of course.
Gas inhalation?
There was no gas leak. I've already explained that. And if gas was vented, bear in mind that sodium hydroxide is a corrosive. You'd have nasty burns on all the drivers in the vicinity. People would be blistering and screaming. Well, we'd damn well know if there was a leak, and we don't. So there wasn't. I am right, aren't I? Harry? Katie?
Well, yes.
Oh, there we are, then. It takes two to tango.
The other lorry?
Hmm.
What about the other lorry?
Yes, but it wasn't a big transport lorry, just a box van. No reason to suppose that it...
Don't look at me. You're running this exercise.
Whose van was it? Do we have that information?
Taunton Transport. We found the number on the side, but it went through to voicemail. The cargo is... We don't know what the cargo is.
Fire silver from fire gold. Just seeking confirmation on one detail. What was the cargo in the other vehicle involved in the accident? Over. What do you mean you don't know? Over. I appreciate you treating this as urgent. Thank you. Out. It's a hire truck. No record of the cargo. Could be anything.
Well, let's ask the bloody driver.
Has he been interviewed?
Reading my reports now. No record of the driver of the van being interviewed. No record of the driver of the van being taken to hospital. No record of the driver of the van at all, full stop.
Bloody driver buggered off.
Shit, what's in that van? Police bronze from police gold. I want to know about the driver of the other vehicle, the Taunton transport vehicle. Where the hell has the driver gone, over? I know you're busy, but it's my job to... I acknowledge that, but with respect, stop buggering about. Oh, Christ. Very good, very good. Keep me apprised. Out. Witness statements are on the screen now. From two drivers who are in the line of traffic behind the two crash lorries. One of them suffered severe whiplash. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been coherent until... He's now given a very alarming statement. And his eyewitness evidence has been confirmed by a second car driver who has only just made himself known.
What are we talking about here, Harry?
There was no collision.
What?
The van was in the middle lane. The gas tanker lorry was behind it on the inside lane. Then the smaller vehicle exploded while in transit. There was smoke coming out of the roof. It veered into the slow lane, and the tanker had to brake to avoid hitting it and came to a controlled halt on the hard shoulder. The Taunton transport van then started drifting across the carriageway from lane to lane. The drivers behind were slamming on their brakes. That's when the RTAs actually happened. And finally, the Taunton transport van went into the central reservation where it hit a concrete barrier.
Yes, and that's how it caught fire. The engine was...
Do we know for certain it was an engine fire?
No. When you say the van exploded...
It didn't explode exactly, not a big bang or anything, but smoke was observed and the driver clearly panicked. There was something in that load.
I'll get my officers to check the report.
Oh, this... This is sly. I had no inkling.
It's clearly a very different scenario. I wish we'd had the... No matter.
My people were on the ball. But the accident scene was chaos.
Yes,
there were people with impact injuries. There was the risk of the gas container exploding. There was... We didn't know which drivers were witnesses.
We're not criticising, Harry.
We should reassess our strategy.
We are reassessing, right. Right, I now need to call my... No. Contain the scene first. Silver fire and bronze fire, this is gold fire. Please give this your urgent attention. I'm declaring this a CBRN incident. Repeat, this is a potential CBRN incident. The police have interviewed two eyewitnesses who report smoke coming from the rear of one of the crash vehicles, which might indicate a load of combustible material. And I'm guessing here, but be aware, this is a real possibility, I'm guessing ammonium nitrate. Over. No, not fertiliser. No, fertiliser doesn't ignite. I'm talking about the carrying of an unlicensed load of the raw product that goes into the making of commercial fertilisers, namely ammonium nitrate, in a vehicle unfit for the transport of hazardous chemicals and with no HazChem markings, potentially for the purposes of committing a terrorist act. Please amend your procedures accordingly. Over.
Terrorist? You can't go straight to a terrorist alert.
Shh, I've got bronze and silver both shouted in my ear. I repeat, this is just speculation, but I can't offhand think of any other chemical that's so liable to spontaneously decompose and turn into a bomb. As a matter of urgency, redefine a new hot zone and a new warm zone and expand the inner corn to encompass both carriageways until we have our CBRN subject matter experts on the scene. Over. Look, yet I'm not digging at you, pal. I missed it too. I had my eye was on the wrong ball. Over.
Misdirection.
Just deal with the situation. Thank you both. Out. Rush of blood to the head there. Mm. Feel that tingle. The goosebumps.
Well, it always happens, even in exercises.
Harry.
What?
Shouldn't you...
What?
The driver got away. The terrorists on the loose. You need to set up a search pattern. Uniforms on the ground. Anti-terrorism.
Are you telling me how to do my job?
Yeah, I'm just... I was only suggesting...
I know what I have to do.
And yet you're not doing it.
No.
Is there a problem?
Yes.
And what's the problem?
Everything. This. What we're doing is... It's bloody stupid, if you ask me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you not like my little scenario?
As it happens, no, I don't.
Why not?
Because, well, this was sold to me as a fire service and ambulance service exercise with limited police involvement. An RTA, no more, with my officers doing crowd control. Now you've made it a terrorist alert exercise and my budget has gone all to buggery. And I had no idea, no warning.
Why on earth would I warn you, Chief Superintendent? The whole point of these exercises is to find out how you deal with the unexpected.
I'll deal with the unexpected when I have to. This is just, well, it's just not fair.
Oh, for pity's sake. This is not a schoolyard. You're not... Don't be so pathetic, man.
Hey, don't you talk to me like that.
Harry, you're missing the point.
What are we bickering about?
I do this for real, you know. I've been doing this job for 20 years. I don't need some bloody soldier telling me how to run a training exercise.
Harry, you're still missing the point. He was a good exercise.
Keep out of this, Alan. I'm not being pushed around by this jumped-up tin soldier. Ex-tin soldier.
I'm sorry, but I was asked. I was hired, in fact, to run this exercise on behalf
of... You've got a rep, you have. Don't think I don't know. I've read your file. Troublemaker. Chopsy bastard. Doesn't work on my watch, pal.
You're overstepping the mark, Chief Superintendent.
Enough! Not one more word from you. We'll take it from here.
Really?
Chop, chop, off you go. What are you waiting for?
You really are an oaf, aren't you?
What?
A fool. A blundering idiot. No sense of strategy, no awareness of the nuances of the situation, no grasp on priorities. This is a live exercise which is still happening as we speak, and you waste time bickering with me. If you were a soldier, man,
I'd... But I'm not. I'm not a soldier, and I'm not your junior officer either. Look, Shoreham, I've played this by the book up to this point, but I don't like the way you've structured this exercise, and I don't like your attitude.
Well, tough shit.
What?
You're only saying all this as a diversionary tactic, aren't you? Because you're embarrassed at your own handling of this exercise, pinning the blame tail on the donkey, that old game. The truth is, you cocked up, Chief Superintendent Douglas, admitted. You mucked it all up, haven't you? You great useless sausage.
You're asking for a clip round the ear, you are. And there was a time I'd have given it to you.
You wouldn't dare, you plod.
These things happen, Claire. People under stress, tempers run high. If the man's a dinosaur, I thought his kind had died.
I blame you.
What?
An official complaint has been made. You've been accused of unprofessional behaviour. All three members of Gold Command say they were appalled at your conduct. I'm sorry, Bradley, but it's all hit the fan.
This is absurd. I'm the victim here. I was attacked by a senior police officer. He hit me. He actually punched me on the nose. Now, there were witnesses.
The witnesses say you were verbally abusive. They say you swore at them and at their colleague, Chief Superintendent Harry Douglas.
I did not swear.
They say you were provocative and offensive. Were you provocative and offensive?
Well, of course I was. I dug a trap and the stupid fool fell into it.
The witnesses say you were, and I quote, beetroot red in the face with anger, suggesting, so the senior paramedic has stated, that you may have high blood pressure, and that's what prompted you to have a spontaneous and uncontrollable nosebleed, which was subsequently treated by the paramedic member of Gold Control.
Nosebleed?
Nosebleed.
Nosebleed.
Your nose bled profusely and messily, and then you departed, ranting. That's the story I was told, in triplicate. That is sitting on my desk right now.
It's all lies, Claire.
Of course it's lies. That's not the point. The point...
Yes, I get what the point is.
You buggered this up. You goaded a senior police officer into hitting you so that you could discredit him and maybe even get him drummed out of the force. Don't deny it. I know how you work. This was one of your games. But this time, you've got it wrong. You have got yourself into serious shit, and you brought discredit to my company. You could very well have lost us the contract, but... It's out of my hands now, Bradley. I have a board to answer to.
Well, whatever you say.
Do you have a death wish or something?
I was doing my job, sorting the wheat from the chaff.
That's not your job, Bradley.
Damn. I do it so well.
Your job is to run training exercises. My job is to charge companies huge amounts of money for the training exercises you run. Your bonus last year was...
I don't do it for the money.
You should do it for the money. You need the money.
I don't need money. My needs are few.
You support two families, Bradley.
Not really. The kids are grown up. The youngest is about to leave university, finally. And after that she can...
You're a soft touch. You know you are. You shower money on them.
Guilt money?
I didn't say that.
You implied it. You presume, Claire. You encroach. My private life is private.
I thought we were friends.
You thought wrong.
Very well. As your boss, I'm advising you dial it down, Bradley.
Or?
Sorry?
Dial it down or... or else? Was there an or else that seemed to be your implication?
Just dial it down.
I still await the or.
Don't go there, Bradley.
Dial it down or... or what? Or else what? Dial it down or you'll do what?
Stop provoking me.
But I enjoy provoking you. I'm dialing it up, in fact. I'm testing the limits of how insubordinate I can be before you sack my sorry ass.
I'm not sacking you, Bradley.
Why not?
Because I need you. You're our highest earning exercise writer. What's more,
Now we come to it. There's a job.
There's a job. A major contract. Your name was specified.
What is it?
It's classified. You'll know in due course.
Cobra?
You'll know in due course.
Multi-agency national war game exercise, I'm guessing. Involving Cabinet Office and its Cobra Committee. The Army, possibly. And a select resilience training, a.k.a. private war game company, namely our good selves, Crisis Control. On a par with a pandemic exercise I ran for the government and the NHS with Alicia.
Climate change, a UK-wide exercise, the Thames Barrier bursts, Scotland becomes an island, most of the tea shops in Cornwall are swept away by a tsunami. It's Noah's Flood with knobs on.
I thought you weren't going to tell me.
Well, I did.
Okay.
Right then. What really happened today, Bradley? Was it necessary to push things that far?
Yes.
Why?
Because men like that are dangerous. Next time round, when there's a real crisis, he's not up to it. He's just not up to it.
Then I'll back you. If that copper persists in his complaint, I'll back you to the hilt.
He won't take it any further. He's made his point. That's all he needed to do. It means he's won. He won't be sacked from the force. But everyone will know. They'll know that that idiot is their weakest link. He panics under pressure. He blusters. He's the kind that covers up. Like they had after Hillsborough and after the G20 summit and after... well, so many times. I've seen it so many times. The fear of admitting blame. That's our real enemy. People who blame others, who haven't got the courage to blame themselves, no matter how stupidly they've cocked up. The police can do without a man like that, I'm telling you, but failing that, at least they'll be a bit more wary of him. That's what I've achieved today.
You may be right, Bradley, but...
what?
Well, you're not, you know, yourself, I mean, exactly, as it were, perfect.
I didn't say I was.
You can be pretty arrogant sometimes. Often, really. And you don't always accept blame for your mistakes.
What?
Sorry, but it's the truth. Now, Bradley, we've known each other a long time.
Are you reprimanding me, ma'am? If so, ma'am, could I know on what basis?
This is not the army. Don't be an arse.
Ma'am, yes, ma'am.
Good night, Bradley.
Wait. Claire?
What?
What I said earlier...
which bit of what you said earlier are you referring to?
Well, when I said you weren't my friend. I didn't mean to.
Good night, Bradley.
Damn.
When she's so close, be soft, be sweet, but be discreet. Don't go on.
You bastard. Oh, no, I don't think so, my friend. It won't be that easy.
This is the 999 emergency call operator. Which service do you require?
Police, this is urgent.
I'm connecting you now, sir.
Emergency call service.
Yes, I require the services of the traffic police to deal with attempted vehicular homicide on the A600 south of Henlow. My name is Bradley Shoreham. You have my mobile number, thank you.
Can you provide further details of this incident, Bradley?
Yes. I'm being pursued by a vehicle. Range Rover, black, registration. I can't read the registration. Oh, damn. I'm a former army officer, and this is a clear attempt to murder me. Please notify armed police. I've been using my phone as a sat nav in the last few days, so the GPS will be switched on. You can get a location.
Hello, Bradley. I'm so sorry. What? Are you trying to say something?
Sorry for what?
Well, I'm sorry that I... I see what you're getting at. Don't try and speak. Just nod if I'm right. You're asking, am I sorry for trying to kill you? Was that a nod? Okay.
Was it you? Did you order my assassination?
Bradley, please. What do you take me for?
Evil bitch.
You should rest. I'll pick up the bill for the best private specialists. I'll take care of it.
Go to hell.
There's someone to see you, Mr. Shoreham.
Is it my boss?
It's not Mrs. Patterson.
Then it must be that skinny old woman wearing very expensive clothes.
Is that your mum, then? Well, if she's your mum, you should see her.
She's not my mum. Show her in. Is this a private room?
It's a private hospital. You were transferred here from Letchworth General.
Nothing but the best. Sit down, Alessandra. I dreamed about you, you know, when they first brought me in. I dreamed
was
that
it
you...
a dream? I came the moment I... Well, this is a nice room.
It's a 5-star hotel room with an IV drip stand. You're doing?
That's of no importance. I need to talk to you. I'll have a glass of chilled water, make sure it's filtered, and something for Mr. Shoreham.
This is not a hotel, ma'am.
Please, I'm parched. At my age, you know.
I'll get you water.
Why now?
Nice young man. Lovely skin. Taut backside. I do notice such things, you know. It's wasted, isn't it? Youth, I mean, on the young.
Why now? Why not sooner? Why not...
Have you spoken to the police?
Of course.
What did you tell them?
The truth. What happened? Make a vehicle, its size, Range Rover, black, stolen, it appears. The police found it at the scene, burned out. They must have had a backup. A second car, you see. Best hope of finding the attackers is with CCTV coverage from traffic cameras and petrol stations in the vicinity. But my guess is they would have disguised their appearance with beards, beanies, whatever. The perfect murder. Run the car off the road on a country lane and inject the corpse with a dash of whiskey. That's what I surmise they would have done if I hadn't managed to get away.
Your airbags failed, I gather.
They were switched off. Someone accessed the vehicle and switched the airbags off.
But you survived.
I'm old school. I know how to survive a crash.
So how exactly did you thwart your attackers?
Well, I did a donut. Turned the car around, in other words. PDQ. I turned it on a sixpence, you might say. Then I rammed their vehicle head on. Smash. I suffered some whiplash. Quite a bit, in fact, but they came off worse. What's more, their airbags inflated, trapping them in their vehicle. But my airbag failed, as I'd guessed it would, so I took a minute or so, composed myself. Then I drove away in reverse and flipped my car around at the junction. I drove to the nearest populated area, Hitchin, I think it was. At some point, I blacked out at the wheel and hit a lamppost. Not fast, fortunately. Then the police were called and found me fast asleep at the wheel. Two crashes in one evening.
And you think I'm to blame?
Are you?
I don't know.
You'll have to do better than that.
I didn't order it. But my fear is... Well, you know how it is. Thomas the Becket.
Will no one rid me of this turbulent priest?
I was very angry with you for the way you treated me.
For the way I treated you? For heaven's sake, Alessandra, we weren't lovers. I didn't mistreat you. What happened was that you abused my integrity. You lied to me and to your grandson and drove him into a state of total despair, pushed him to the point of suicide and beyond.
I'm talking about the stories you leaked to the press.
That wasn't me.
Don't lie.
Well, all right, it was me. I gave the dossiers to an intermediary.
To Mark's girlfriend.
It was an intermediary, that's all I will say to
you. I know who it was. It was Mark's girlfriend, ex-girlfriend. Did you ever meet her? Ji Young, Korean-American.
We met on Skype. She did love him, actually.
Did she?
She does a lot with Earth Red Alert. That's how she and Mark met. She's an activist, a tree sitter, a monkey wrencher. It was Ji Young I spoke to, initially. She knew the people who knew what to do with all the information I gave them. But they're the ones who set up the Darknet site. They're the ones who've been leaking stories against you every month. They're the ones who've been tweeting your downfall. So don't blame Ji Young. Don't set your dogs on her. It was me. All the blame is mine. Ever since Mark died, I've been using proxies to blow the whistle on your vile attempt to make a dirty buck out of the greatest climatic catastrophe since that asteroid thing struck. I've been letting the world know what scum like you are up to in your attempts to short-sell the coming global apocalypse. All justifiable on my part, I would say. Ethically, I mean, in the circumstances.
You betrayed my trust in you, my personal confidences, and breached, by the way, no end of NDAs.
I gave you what you deserved, a bloody good corporate hiding.
Let's not rehash all that. The fact is, you made a lot of enemies. People who have invested in companies and projects based on your future trend scenarios now stand to make big losses. Tempers are running high.
Who, in particular?
I don't know. It's a complex web.
A nation? A spy agency? Russia? Eastern Europe? Africa? A multinational? A security company acting on behalf of any or all of the above?
I think it may be... Those land deals you see in Asia and Africa... They didn't stand up to the close scrutiny they were given after your disclosures. These are land deals that will yield vast returns if the crops in America and Europe fail, as you predicted they might. Certain promises were made which were reneged upon when the bad press hit. And, well, there were some rather dangerous local warlords involved in it all. They were promised money, power, even guns in return for acquiring land. Guerrilla leaders, some of them gallant freedom fighters, but most of them, alas, mass murderers. Perhaps, on balance, they are the most likely instigators in this attempt on your life.
Name names.
I can't.
You mean you won't?
I mean, I won't, because if I give you the information, you'll use it against them, and next
you
time...
You disgust me. Your hedge fund is bankrolling this. Don't deny it.
Well, some people are planning ahead. That's just human nature. If there are food shortages, well, these people will own arable land somewhere.
Private sector colonialism, in other words. Privately owned crops on privately owned land with privately owned water reserves. All on land that used to belong to the locals, who will one day find themselves to be squatters in their own homeland.
Well, how is that different to how the West was won?
I don't know. Perhaps it isn't. So you won't say who, knowing the likely consequences to me of that, of that...
Oh. Are you all right?
Damn you, Alessandra.
Oh, Bradley.
So, what the hell are you doing here? Guilty conscience?
Hardly.
Just concerned, then. You're anxious about the well-being of your old friend.
You're not my friend.
I know I'm not. I'm bloody well not your friend.
If anything, I detest you. I hold you responsible for the death of my grandson. I blame you for the way you drove him.
Your grandson killed himself because he hated you. Because he hated what you stand for and for what you did. And because... well... how can anyone say he died, Alessandro?
Because of you!
No, no. What's the point of this? There's nothing between us. We've every reason to be enemies. We are, in fact, enemies.
Yes, you are my enemy.
And you are mine, especially if I may be so direct, since you tried to kill me.
No, no. Are you taping this? No, but when I heard...
are those crocodile tears?
Am I crying?
Yes.
Oh, that's odd. Even when Mark died, I didn't.
It wasn't your fault, Alessandra. You are what you are. He was who he was. It wasn't...
of course it was my bloody fault. I was a terrible... I was...
Are we finished here?
No.
Well, get out, please. I'm tired. I want to sleep.
I want to make amends.
Well, you can't. It's too late.
Not to you. To Mark.
Oh, yes? What are you proposing?
Come and work for me, Bradley.
What?
Have your old job back. Be my futurist.
Are you mad?
But this time we'll do it your way, Mark's way. No side bets, no short-selling the apocalypse, as you so colourfully put it. I'll create a genuine charitable trust. We'll do good deeds.
You can't buy your way into heaven, you know. God Almighty does not take bungs.
Oh, come now. Indulgences, relics, cathedrals, devoted to his glory.
Fair enough. I don't believe in God. Not anymore.
Nor me. I never did. So what do you say?
I say no, obviously. Categorically no.
Why not?
Why not? Look at me. Look at what you did to me, what your associates have done to me.
But that's why I want to protect you, bring you close to me.
No.
Please.
No.
You can't keep saying no. Give me a reason why no.
Because a leopard never changes its spots.
I'm not a leopard. I'm a tired, frightened old lady, and I want to spend the next 30 years of my life sleeping soundly with a clear conscience.
30 years?
I'm only 72.
You think you'll live to be more than 100?
Well, my mother did. I'm fit. That's not the point. What do you say, Bradley?
No.
You'll have a blank check?
No.
No interference? Your own office. You can handpick your staff.
No.
You can change the world.
No.
I can make your children financially secure. Your grandchildren. Your ex-wives. I know about your ex-wives.
That's private. Don't dabble. Private is private.
You can look after them, keep them safe, buy their affection, and that way you can make up for... no, forget I said that. That's not a good way to go. Come, work for me, Bradley. I'll do it right this time. What do you say?
No.
You mean yes?
I mean no. I mean yes. I would do it. I might do it. Another time, I might. If I were younger, I probably would, but not now. Well, look at me. I'm all smashed up. I haven't the stamina to...
you don't have an assistant.
You don't need me. Don't make this personal, Alessandra. Don't buy me off. Do your good deeds on your own. There are plenty of futurists out there. I'll give you a list of names. Some of them are protégés of mine. Some of them are better than me. Just to leave me in peace.
Please, Bradley. For me. Do it for me.
No.
In Hazard by Philip Palmer, Bradley Shoreham was played by Tim Woodward. Alessandra Pacetti by Sarah Kesselman. Claire Patterson by Christine Kavanagh and Chief Superintendent Harry Douglas by David Hounslow. Katie Wilton was Jane Slavin and Alan Myerson, Stephen Critchlow. Other parts were played by Mark Edel Hunt, Sam Dale, Rhiannon Needs, Chris Pavlo, Jessica Turner, and Alex Tregear. The director was Gemma Jenkins.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. Britain is to reopen its embassy in Tehran for the first time since it was attacked by a mob in 2011. The Foreign Secretary, Philip Hammond, is to visit Iran at the weekend. The driver of the bin lorry that killed six people when it crashed in Glasgow last Christmas has been giving evidence to the fatal accident inquiry. Harry Clark, who was unconscious at the time of the accident, declined to answer many of the questions because relatives of some of those who died want to bring a private prosecution against him. Reports from Greece suggest that the Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, is to call early elections. He's been facing opposition from within his left-wing Syriza party to some of the austerity measures he's allowed to secure the latest international bailout. Mr. Tsipras is understood to be hoping to increase his parliamentary majority so that the rebels can't derail his policies. Friends and family have been paying tribute to Cilla Black at her funeral service at the church in Liverpool, where her marriage was blessed in 1969. The singer and TV presenter died after falling at her home, her holiday home in southern Spain earlier this month. The entertainer Paul O'Grady, who was a close friend of hers, told the congregation that for him, a light had gone out.
She was a great friend. She was full of fun. She was a wonderful woman. She was talented. She was so witty. She adored her family, she loved her sons, she loved her grandchildren. She was so proud that she came from Scossey Road. And I'm just so grateful that she allowed me into her whirlwind of a life and we spent nearly two decades together, hell-raising, if you pardon the expression.
Thousands of MOT testing centres were unable to issue online certificates because of problems with a new computer system. Millions of motorists might have to stop driving if they can't get their cars tested before their existing certificates expire. The Driver and Vehicle Standards Agency said garages could issue paper certificates until the problems are fixed, but that the new system will eventually be more cost-effective. BBC News.
Next this afternoon, Helen Mark will visit Cornwall's clay country to see how mining